trust that the blessing of the Lord is upon you this morning as you've gathered on this beautiful Sabbath morning. Indeed, it's hard to find on a gray day something much prettier than the snow hanging on the trees like it is this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for interjecting beauty into a world that is darkening. Thank you, Lord, for giving us hope and a future. Thank you, Lord, for giving us strength to carry burdens and to fight battles. Thank you, Lord, for another year behind us and the beginning of a new year. Thank you, Lord, that this battle is going to come to an end and we're going to see Jesus face to face and we're going to be reunited. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'll bless us on this first corporate worship service of 2021 and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. So bless us now, Lord, as we make this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we think about a new year, I've entitled my message, Hindsight, Hind's Feet, and Higher Places from 2020 to Heavenly Vision. Now, as I reflected and am reflecting on this year, I'm convinced there is one word that marks the year 2020. I want you to get your word in your mind. If you look at the past 365 days, what word marks the year 2020? Well, my word is not corona and it's not virus. That's two words, by the way. It's a serious ailment. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. We need to be thoughtful. But I have a one word definition that marks the year 2020, and the word is fear. Paralyzing, compromising, limiting, energy robbing, parasitic fear. And I want to contrast that this morning with one of the more famous statements from the Pen of Inspiration that says, in reviewing our past history, having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God, as I see what God has wrought. I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as our leader. Now, it's important for us to think carefully about this paragraph. She says, I am filled with confidence in Christ as our leader. And the next phrase is one that all of us should have emblazoned in our mind. It says, we have nothing to what? To fear. If you don't know this quote, you need to learn it. We have nothing to fear for the future, except we shall forget the way the Lord has led us in our past and His teachings. I slightly inverted those phrases there. And then as I was looking at this quote in one of the, I think, 40-some places it's been reproduced, I read the next paragraph, and it was a very interesting starting phrase. She says, we are now a strong people. And I thought to myself, what is the context of this statement? When was it written? So I did a little looking around, and I found that the first time she related to the Seventh-day Adventist Church as we are now a strong people was in 1892 when she was writing to the General Conference. It was actually a General Conference bulletin. And I'm going to just highlight a few things. This is a fairly long document. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but there are several quotes in it that I think are important for us. The very first one that jumped out at me is in the second paragraph of the letter. The context of the letter is the 1892 General Conference session. It is in session when this letter is written. And there is a large number of constituents at the session, delegates, that think they need to do away with a measure of organization in the church. Now, you know, about 8 years from this writing, 9 years, there'll be a major reorganization of the church. She says, I learned that it's proposed by some of our brethren to do away with the organization of some, at least of the branches of our work. No doubt what has led them to propose this step is that in some of our organizations, the machinery has been made so complicated as really to hinder the work. Now, she's not unwilling to recognize that the institution can get in the way of itself. That's true of the village church. That's true of every other institution and highly organized entity in this great movement. So it's important for us to make sure that form and function are working together for the mission. But the second paragraph says this: from the first, our work was aggressive. Now, I want you to ask yourself, is my life committed to the aggressive expansion of God's work? I want you to ask yourself, is my church aggressive in the battle between right and wrong, light and darkness? From the first, our work was aggressive. It's hard for somebody to be on the attack when their heart is full of fear. But God's messenger directs us to recognize that from the very beginning, God's people have had a sense that God is in their midst. Now, as we near the close of time, I'm moving on into the third page, Satan comes down with great power, knowing that his time is short. Especially will his power be exercised upon the remnant. And this is what he'll do. He will war against them and seek to divide them and scatter them that they may grow weak and be overthrown. Now, if you can't read the tea leaves of where we're at in the experience of Adventism some 130 years later than this letter was written, then maybe we better stop and remember that we find many of our schools and churches living life on the bubble. And for most of you that as kids have taken that plastic little wand and dipped it in that plastic little bottle with that dish soap that you paid a dollar for, watered down, and blown through your little bubble wand, you realize that life on the bubble is precarious, it's fragile, it's temporary. God never intended that his people be in this place. Yes, the word for 2020 is fear, but the call for 2021 is something completely different. Satan will war against them, seek to divide and scatter them, that they may grow weak and be overthrown. The battle is on. And God's people are to be aggressively in the front. She goes on, next paragraph, I saw that the enemy would come in every way to dishearten the people of God and perplex and trouble them, that they should move understandingly, and that they, in contrast to what he's doing, should move understandingly and prepare themselves for the attacks of Satan. It's Satan's time to work. A stormy future is before us. And the church should be awake to make an advance move that they may stand securely against his plans. What would an advance move look like in 2021? It's time that something was done. God's not pleased to have his people leave the matters of the church as loose ends and suffer the enemy to have the whole advantage and control affairs as best pleases him. What would an advance move look like? This morning, as I think about the fact that the world has been polarized around its own preservation, fear of its own demise, I'm absolutely convinced that there's one thing that will distinguish God's people as they go into the end, is that for all those, need to be careful how I say this, for all those pickup trucks with the gun racks in the back and the vinyl decal across the back window that says no fear, I'm quite confident that sometimes people are just projecting for their own sense of courage, that God's people indeed are going to march into the future knowing that his perfect love has ordained their days, made provision for them, called out marching orders, and they actually are going to go into the future with no fear. But the devil's working hard to make sure we protect everything we've got. I'm here to tell you, friends, as one young man said, in my last church, he said, my goal is not to have the largest bonfire at the end of time. In other words, when it all goes up in smoke and Jesus comes back, his goal is not to have accumulated to where the flames are the hottest and the light is the brightest, where his pile of stuff was. When we don't learn to trust God with our relationships, our bank accounts, our future, when God can't really be Lord of all things, we can't go to the high places. We can't be led to higher ground. And we live in the land of fearings. An advanced move. I know back in May, when every church that had shut down, which was most churches in America, including all the churches in Michigan, we were trying to decide, what are we going to do? But I want to tell you something. The Catholic Church was out in front of permission, even from the government, and they were saying, we're going to open back up. An advanced move is an advanced move. It doesn't matter who makes it. And it might be that we all owe just a little something to our Catholic brothers and sisters who got to the place where they said, you know what? It's time for the church to go back doing what the church is supposed to do. Fear or no fear. Disease or no disease. Trauma or no trauma. It's time that something was done, she says. God is not pleased to have his people leave the matters of the church at loose ends. She goes on to say, if ministers of God would unitedly take their positions and maintain it with decision, there'd be a uniting influence among the flock of God. Any pastors listening to me here this morning, we're being called back to the simplistic, solid ground of our previous journey. A lack of union. She spends time discussing this. And as we move towards the end of the letter, she says, interestingly enough, she talks to doctors. She says, I have been shown that physicians who practice in our churches should come under the supervision of the church as fully as the minister. And then she says, the Lord directed our minds to the importance of the educational work. We saw the need of schools that our children might receive instruction free from the errors of false philosophy, and that their training might be in harmony with the principles of the Word of God. And then, this is an interesting statement. Our work, now she's going to talk about money. Our work was not sustained by large gifts or legacies, for we have few wealthy men among us. What is the secret of our prosperity? We have moved under the orders of the captain of our salvation. I can hear the echoes of Jesus talking to Joshua, saying, don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. So now, at the end of the document, I'm going to come back to this. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget. And I believe in conjunction with this phrase, we are now a strong people, I'm going to combine two things. At the beginning of this paragraph, where she says we have nothing to fear for the future, except we shall forget the way the Lord's led us in His teachings in our past, she follows that up with, we are now a strong people, if we will put our trust in the Lord. 1892, but the paragraph starts like this. The work is soon to close. The work is soon to close. Now, I've packaged up several things here. But if there's one thing that is important for us to think about as we start this new year, is we need to think about the fact that the devil is using the introductory tools of crowd control, and he's using them very well. I want to remind you that in the book of Revelation, when the author talks about the final oppression of a healed beast, that it will start with financial limitations. And there will come a point in time when it's hard to exist. It's hard to buy your loaf of bread. It's hard to pay your water bill. It's hard to keep the electricity going in your house, because those who don't comply are not going to be able to buy or to sell. I want you to understand that in a comfort-loving, creature-oriented, customer-oriented society, that hardship is a contradictory experience to the sum of our lives. I know, visiting with my grandparents on my wife's side, that they grew up without electricity and they grew up without indoor plumbing. Most of you listening to me today have not grown up without anything that your heart desires, especially in the last 20 years. As children, yes. I've told you the stories of me getting my clothes from the Dorcas Society. There was a day when Kmart was a big deal. Now it's largely gone. We've gone so far past that that you can buy your designer clothes and have your designer homes and your designer styles wherever you go. And there's nothing you can't have that can even be brought to your doorstep. But I want to remind you that the final lever that severs the proposers of God's remnant from the ones who walk in the way will be the lever of fear. And the final lever will be, you no longer have the right to compromise the well-being of the human race. Your extinguishment is now expediency for the entire earth. That's pressure. If you can't walk with the footmen, what makes you think you can run with the horses? The day of the troubling of the Jordan is upon us. Is it 2021? I don't know. Will the birth pangs release themselves so that we can rally, gather, focus, organize? But I'm here this morning to call you to a journey that recognizes fear in every form and decides it is an imposter in regards to the one who calls cadence for our lives. This year has been a very interesting year. I can't start 2021 without thinking back about 2020. It was 10 months ago that our associate Joe Reeves bid his final goodbye to us in this year. We had about that much time before the world was changing significantly. We had almost 200 people preparing to go to El Salvador to work on a college for that segment of the Inter-American Division. As a matter of fact, a small group of about 8-10 people went down there a few days before people started closing airports. We processed whether or not we should keep going in a board meeting. But the world changed rapidly, and while we were in El Salvador, we were scrambling to find airlines because of the two countries in the world that shut down access to Americans before anybody else. It just so turned out that El Salvador was one of them. And I say to you this morning, praise the Lord. And you say, what? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, praise the Lord. Because flying 200 people into El Salvador is tens of thousands of dollars. And fortunately, we found the tickets that we needed and we got out. And praise God, the first airplane loaded with about 30 people left O'Hare International Airport, landed in Dallas, I think it was, maybe Houston. And by God's grace, not a single person from the rank and file membership of almost 200 people made it to El Salvador. Why am I praising the Lord? Because all of that money was saved. And if we would have gotten 200 people down there in the next day and a half, we would have wasted all of the money for a one-day trip into a country and a round trip back to our own. Yes, I'm praising the Lord. And while that door is yet to open again, a week from tomorrow, I'll be going back down with another group to see if it's time for things to start moving again. I'm praising the Lord for how He intervened. We went 2 months in this church where nobody was in these pews. But I want to praise the Lord for our audiovisual team, and I want to praise the Lord for the staff that I work with who decided that we're not stopping doing church. And our audiovisual team and our staff came in, and every Sabbath we still had church. Some people thought we were completely in defiance of everything that was going on. Eventually, some of the shots of empty pews were shown. But for 2 months, we still had church. It wasn't exactly like we wanted to have church, but there was a commitment to make sure that the worship was going to go forward, and we weren't just going to abandon everything. As we came down to the end of the spring and it was time to start thinking about what else should go on, we knew there was no camp meeting. But God started moving on our hearts. And in the midst of those prayer seasons, it was becoming clear that God's people needed to connect now more than ever. And God brought together a commitment with the conference office and the staff of this church and our audiovisual people. And we had 9 days of Michigan camp meeting right here in this church. But I need to tell you something that I want to be careful how I say. I knew from the very beginning, and I'm challenging you to recognize these imposters from the very beginning. I knew as soon as fear started rippling through the ranks of God's people that we had an imposter in our midst. Because where Jesus is, there can be no lingering fear. I'm not saying that there's never any sense of fear or danger. I'm not saying that at all. If you're sleeping in the boat or you're rowing the oars and pretty soon you sense we're in big trouble, it's never been this bad before, you want to know where Jesus is. In that case, they didn't know much about Jesus. And they said, don't you care? Can't you help us bail? And Jesus woke up and what did he say to them? He stood up in the boat. He raised his hands and he said, peace, opposite of fear, be still. And then he looked at all of them and he said, why were you afraid? Either there's a God up above who put the stars in place and knows the number of hairs on your head, or there is not. Which one is it? That may be the most elemental question to ask ourselves, because not only does it speak peace to our hearts, but it is the ordering of our lives for a focus for eternity and a power and a presence for those who don't understand that there's a divine shepherd who calls his sheep by name. Yes, indeed. But it wasn't enough for the devil to actually create trouble for us. I got emails from people. I stood in this pulpit where by God's grace, I stand Sabbath by Sabbath. And I challenge people, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you not doing what you used to do? I got letters from people saying that if I wasn't careful, I was going to embarrass everybody, not just the members of my own church. I want to tell you, in the work up to that camp meeting, it wasn't enough that I was facing, that we were facing the collective fears of a nation. And I could wish they were not the collective fears of a church. But about 2 weeks before camp meeting, the Lord allowed me to walk through a darker valley. And my wife sat in an oncology unit and had an ultrasound, and they told her, we think you have cancer. I know where I was when she came out of the hospital. I had been pacing back and forth praying. And it was true. Now this morning, I'm here to tell you, my wife is doing well. There is no cancer. Praise the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, I've stared fear in the face in 2020. And I'm here to tell you, I watched my God, in effect, say, stand aside. And my wife got to see doctors and radiologists and oncologists in the shortest amount of time that probably anybody I've ever met. She had surgery just days before camp meeting. And within days of having that surgery, by God's grace, with His strength, she's helping my daughter feed all the camp meeting people. It makes coronavirus look a little bit insignificant, if you don't mind me saying so. Now, I have 4 children. 3 of them have had the virus, so don't think that I'm not acquainted with the virus. I have my in-laws living with me, and I want to be careful, but life must go on, and God's people must have confidence. They are always aggressive because concern for themselves is not the deciding factor. It's not that they make no plans and have no thought. We go into a summer where it looks like we've got a problem on our hands. What's our problem? Our problem is that we have a school that runs on 150 students, and we don't have nearly as many signed up as we thought. God moves on some people's hearts. We've got a problem on our hands. All the plumbing in our school is on a serious degradation direction. We've got plumbing in the floors that's degrading, and it's causing water to come up through the floor and create mold in our school. We're going to have to come up with the money to fix the plumbing. Well, I want to tell you something. God says, in effect, step aside. We're going to do better. Not only do we fix the plumbing, but we fix almost all the flooring in the middle. The gym gets painted. We have new lockers. We have new technology. We have all kinds of things. And by the end of the summer, we're only a few weeks away from paying for it. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. The whole Montana project, nothing happened all summer long. People on the reservation, cautious. I understand caution. I'm not against caution. I'm not against prudency. I understand fear. Praise the Lord this fall. Phone calls are made. Listen, friends, you've got to pray your way through life. Take your bulletins out. I want to look at the quote. You've got to pray your way through life. It starts out with the word if. If we accept Christ as our guide, He will lead us safely along the narrow way. Amen. The road may be rough and thorny, and the ascent steep and dangerous. There may be pitfalls on the right hand and on the left. When weary and longing for rest, we may have to toil on. When faint, we may have to fight. But with Christ as our guide, we shall not fail of reaching heaven. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. We're not to conduct ourselves like the consumer rank and file individual of America. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I heard what percent of our economy is driven by consumer spending. Get your fraction in mind. How much of the economic activity of this country is driven by consumer spending? If I heard right, the number was 2/3. We should not be in that 2/3 the way the rest is in that 2/3. You're a steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. This work is to move forward aggressively. I want to affirm this church today as it has rallied and focused and made itself strong in prayer, in gathering, in unity, in giving, in serving, and in sacrificing. I was stunned when my secretary presented me with the graphs that I showed you 2 weeks ago. It's like, well, no wonder the church is experiencing what it's experiencing. The people are in it with their pocketbooks. Their heart is right where it's supposed to be. But friends, there's more to go. There's higher ground. And I don't know how far you've exercised yourself on behalf of the living God, but this morning what I want to say to you is, Jesus is the guide. We are the sheep. The shepherd's voice is calling us to higher ground, and the glorious good news is, though the path gets narrower, there is a rope that comes down from heaven. It is the confidence we have in an increasing presence of God's provision from past to present. And on the other side, we're going to walk through the pearly gates and it's going to be worth it all. We've gotten too used to the idea that this is it. We talk the talk. We act like it really matters. And we want it to matter. I'm not any different than you. The affluenza that has a hold of most of Americans has got to be overcome with the vaccine of a deeper love for Jesus Christ, with the gospel that must be heard by all. The separation that keeps us from really being family must be overcome with an intentionality that says, as we press on towards the finish, because remember, friends, in the quote, that we have nothing to fear for the future, the paragraph starts, the work is about to finish. In what's in the future, you're going to need the person down the pew from you in ways you never needed them before. And I'm just here to tell you today, there are moments when I'm in a meeting and I'm walking through the hallway and God sends a solution. It's somebody in my physical presence that I've seen. It's a conversation. It leads out of a willing heart to a solution. You know, now I'll talk to the men. We all want to have absolutely everything we'll ever need. You don't want to borrow somebody's tools. And of course, some people borrow tools and bring them back broken or don't bring them back. God forbid that would be any of you. But the truth of the matter is that the days are coming that you can't buy and sell. And you know what the other truth of the matter is? The church has already faced this. The apostolic brothers and sisters were taking care of each other and God was taking care of all of them. And it was a witness to the world like they have never seen. You mean you've got two of those and I've got none? You can have one. For some, I've got one of these and you've got none. We'll divide it. God's people loving each other will be the final witness along with the message of truth. It'll be evident to everybody that's watching. They've never seen anything quite like this before. It'll be a little bit like those pre-1844 October 22 disappointment days. And what the people are in effect going to be saying, I won't need this much longer. Let's use it up. Wear it out. We need to be pressing together in 2021. I watch our church. I see it strengthening. It's not just a strengthening of finance and mission. It's a strengthening of family and togetherness. This is where God is leading us. I've seen two trips develop in 2020 almost out of nothing, whereas in a period of a few weeks, you have a dozen people arriving on a reservation, God opening the door up with free housing from the local college, and divine appointments along the way. There's still one more of those trips that needs to be made. I've watched our people rally to take care of amazing things. It was sitting during that camp meeting, which the devil didn't want to go on, that Dr. John Kelly made a trip down. And he sat down and he basically said, in effect, maybe we ought to partner. And in just a few weeks from now, we're going to have 20 people actually going through a program and another 15 learning how to actually exercise the right arm of the gospel so that when we can't say much, we can say, I'm here to help you as you face this disease, whether you can't get antibiotics or whether it's a version that's resistant to what you've got. God's opening that door. He opened it in this season. By God's grace, it'll become like the Breed Free program of the early 1960s and late 1950s when thousands attended and received what was inexpensive and free with lots of support to kick a nicotine habit before the Surgeon General even said smoking was bad for you. 5 years before the Surgeon General was willing to acknowledge that this is a huge problem, God's people were out in front of the science. And we may need to be out in front of the science today too, friends. I look back at this last year, and I'm amazed that in the midst of crisis, God has come down into the ranks, raised up His own standard, and moved according to heavenly intention with heavenly provision. And to be very honest, when I was talking with our treasurer a few days ago about where we were for budget, she quite confidently said to me, "We'll get it." Praise the Lord. I wasn't terribly surprised. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to send out an email or one call and say, "Folks, let's rally to make sure there's revenue, there's resources, there's ammunition for the battle we're waging." But you know, I was really pleased when I found out we were just a little bit away from taking care of our commitments to the church school. But somebody had already come in with a sizable offering, and I said, "Why don't you just hang on to that a little bit?" When I found out we were $6,000 away, I asked that individual, "Would it be okay if we put it towards this?" They were glad to do it. Praise the Lord. It's history, friends. It's history. What's coming in your future in 2021? What's coming to us collectively in 2021? Let's push aside all of the turbulence of the news and the conspiracy theories. And let's just realize for a moment that God's people are called to rise above all this. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with being an informed and intelligent, functioning individual. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God's calling us to higher ground in 2021. Take your Bibles and open them up to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, our scripture for this morning. I want to show you what God's calling you to. He's calling you to an ever-increasing confidence that not only do you have assurance in Christ, but you actually want to give assurance away, and you are looking forward to and seeking to hasten the coming of the Lord. Simon Peter, verse 1, 2 Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, those who have received faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. They lived in some turbulent times too, in the knowledge of our God and Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted us to everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who's called us by His glory and His excellence. Now listen, if in 2021 you're not letting Jesus shepherd you, you ought to be afraid. But in the days in which Peter was writing to join the church, you had to overcome a sense of fear. They were not an esteemed group. They were a persecuted group. They'll write, "You have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood." Hey, I've not gotten up lately and said, "Hey, keep going. Nobody's bleeding here yet." You've been thrown in jail and you've lost your jobs, but nobody's bleeding here yet. I haven't preached any sermons like that, but that's what they'll say. You see, joining the ranks of Christ in the days of Peter's writing meant overcoming something. And I want to tell you, the only thing to overcome that fear was the sense that this can't really be true. God came down, became one of us, loved us, paid the price for me, took my place on the cross, and has assured me of a spot in His house to sit on His throne, to live forever. Verse 4, "For by these He granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust." Listen, if anything is true, it's the fact that Jesus is going to remake you to be just like Him. But if you're feeding at the polluted wells of whatever outlet you go to get them, you will not be remade. For some of you listening to me this morning, this device is nothing but a boat anchor to keep you on planet Earth all the way up until the time the flames are coming down. Use it, but don't let it use you. Less time with your friends, more time with God. And if this thing keeps sucking you in and dragging you down and sullying you, remember, the apostle writes that we're not to be spotted with this world. We're not to be splattered by the drive-by. Then do something about it. But I want to tell you, I'm walking into 2021, and if there's one thing I don't want to surrender, I'm not surrendering the joy of being loved by God, being loved by my wife, and loving in return. I'm not going to let this or anything else rob me of what I need. If there's ever a day when God's people have to be unafraid, it's today. And to be unafraid, it's a very simple formula. To be unafraid, I kneel in front of my window and I turn it all over to God. And if God wants to do something different with me or my stuff, which is really His stuff, it's His. But when I get off my knees, I've given Him all my fears. I've told Him about all my worries. And sometimes He simply says, "You're going to have to hang on for a while. I'm not sending you a direct message today. You're just going to have to trust me. All those direct messages of the past, I'm at work. But I'm not going into a day, by God's grace, where I have to be infected with the spirit of this world. These exceeding great and precious promises are what we need to focus on and put in our heart and mind. And if we lose some friends, and if we lose some jobs, and if we lose some old habits, just say, praise the Lord. Because on the way to heaven, we need to remember, once we get there, there'll be one phrase on our lips, no matter how much we lost, and that'll be, heaven is cheap enough. Cheap enough. For this very reason, verse 5, also applying all diligence in all faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. Now, the King James reads better here. It says, add to. And as you're looking at your life, you need to ask yourself, Lord, I like what Zig Ziglar used to say. He's gone now. One of the greatest motivational speakers. He said, fear is faith running in reverse. Add to your faith. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go to a better version. Because I want to do it out of the King James Version this morning. Verse 5. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay, so we've got three things. Faith, you're going to have to take some risks to get it, friends. Our church school principal was reading a book called Extreme Ownership, How the Navy SEALs Lead and Win. He quoted John Paul Jones, you know, the first big naval officer of America. He said, without taking a risk, you can't win. Faith. Add to your faith virtue, so good. And to virtue knowledge. Some of us are running in the dark zones. We're running in the ignorant zones. We used to be called people of the book. It's time for the book to become the people changer that it's always been for us. To knowledge temperance. So you've got the money to do it, so what? So you've got the time to do it, so what? So it's sitting on the shelf or it's in the icebox, so what? And to temperance patience. It's an instant society. But everything that shapes you is not instant. And to patience goodness or godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love or charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most fruitful year for this church is the one right in front of us. The most fruitful year for your life is right in front of you. You have these things in your life. You climb Peter's golden ladder. You add to your faith virtue. You add these things into your life. You make intentional decisions. Everybody's going to know there's a different operating system in you. The exceeding great and precious promises will begin doing their work right now. And the divine nature of Jesus will be showing up. It'll be in your marriage. It'll be with your kids. It'll be in your work. It'll be with your boss. It'll be with your friends. Some won't like it. The ones who love Jesus or are open to loving Jesus certainly will. Now, I offered this at the beginning of the pandemic. I was quite disappointed of how few people took me up on it. This book is entitled Hinds Feet on High Places. I want to thank Library and Educational Services for working with us to allow me to get volumes of this. I've recommended this book before. I'm recommending it again. Ellen White could say highly of John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress in the modern age. I can speak to you very highly of this book. If you have not read this book, you ought to make it something you read over the weekend. It's easy to read. Not that that should be a real meritorious dynamic of a book. But for those who don't want to be wrestling with the dictionary to understand what you're reading, but you'd like to actually read something that's edifying and encouraging, read this book. Now the good news is you're at first service. The bad news is if you come to second service today, there may not be any more of these. And there's probably not enough for everybody here today even. But if you want more, I can get you more. But sitting on the tables out back as you leave today are two different versions of this book. They're both narratively the same. 2021 is going to be a momentous year for God's church. I don't know how, but I do know this. We're going to higher ground. This is the story of Much Afraid who goes to the high places. And she's got to face her fear over and over again. I'm going to reread the book because it's the story of every human being. It might be that you're afraid to give up something that's almost become a part of your identity, but it's an idol. It might be that the network of your friends is where all your affirmation and approbation comes from. And the idea of not having that leaves a chasm, a gap in your life. It might be that you put your nest egg as your security. It might be that God's calling you to go somewhere and do something with your life you never thought about doing, or you've thought about it a lot and kept suppressing it. It might be that it's time for somebody to stand in this baptistry and say, I put it off too long. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know this. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and looking to what's coming ahead, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. We just went through a major birth pang. Oh, it's not over yet. But the vaccine is not the solution for God's people in total. Get the vaccine as you feel a compulsion to do so in your circumstance. But don't let the vaccine become the shield by which you walk into the foray against your own fears and against the author of all fear. My hope and my prayer is that in this year, there is a holy boldness in the ranks of God's people combined with a divine humility, a unity and a focus that makes the devil and his legions afraid. But enough of us are going to have to do this in our private life. And it appears this is going on, so I'm just calling you to higher ground. Enough of us are going to have to do this in our private life to where the corporate identity of the family of God speaks from the collective individualities of who we are. It's all God's. Your very breath is God's. What are we going to do with it? Hinds feet to high places. It's time to start looking to heaven. Jesus is coming. And He's coming sooner than we think. And if we knew the final movements would be rapid ones before March of this year, we know a whole lot more now. Friends, you don't have to be afraid. I don't want anybody to be afraid. As a matter of fact, the lack of fear is going to be one of the biggest witnesses. So where are those lines drawn in your life? It's time to be focusing on going home. We've had the last 10 months to think about what it means to be in a place not so good anymore. And God leading us. May we follow Him all the way. 2021, Lord, my life, my best, my thoughts, my money, my future, my choices, my relationships, they're all yours. May this be our prayer. May we trust Jesus to get us there. May we trust Him today. I don't know what's on your heart right now, but trust Him today. And let's remember this. Nothing to fear for the future except we forget. Maybe you haven't written any chapters of faith yet. Today's the day to start writing them. Take a risk in the name of the will of God and let Him start writing the chapters. And when it's all said and done, instead of seeing the rifle hanging from the gun rack in the back of the pickup truck where it says no fear, it can be written on our hearts. That's where He's calling us to be. Some are going to lay down their lives. In the meantime, we're going to start laying down other things. But it's all in the name of seeing Jesus as we go to heaven. Let's stand together as we sing our closing hymn. Forgive us when we've forgotten how wonderful it'll be to be with You and to be in a world made new, to be in the environment You originally intended for us. No fear, no worry, no stress, no persecution, no discouragement. Some of that we don't experience as much of here, Lord, but it's coming. It's not supposed to make us worry or afraid. I'm just praying, Lord, help us to really see Jesus talking to a lady from Syrophoenicia, telling her daughter, go and see. Your child is made well. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, who couldn't be quieted, who knew You were compassionate. Thief on the cross, Lord, who thought he had ruined his life, but You gave him hope at the very end. Help us to see Jesus bending over to take us by the hand and say, child, it doesn't matter where you've been. Let's go to heaven together. I'm praying for our relatives who don't seem to care, but your Spirit's speaking to them. I'm praying there'd be nothing in our lives that keep them from listening to us, and they'd see us becoming more like Jesus through the exceeding great and precious promises. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd tear down every idol and cast out every foe. Sometimes we don't have the desire to do it, Lord, let alone the will. And yet, Lord, the will can be exercised through the desire you put in our hearts. I'm praying, may this be the best year ever for your church. And may your church become a new focus of our lives in a greater way than ever before. May we look forward to the day when the church on earth is rejoined with the church in heaven. Thank you for Jesus, who walked the walk before us and now is walking the walk with us. May we remember nothing matters more than being free inside and looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Thank you that you're gracious and forgive our sins. Bless us now. May this be the best year of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.